Philippians chapter 4 this morning. We wrap up this 8-week series on money in the same part of the Bible that we've been in for the last 3 weeks. Philippians chapter 4 is where we'll start today on the topic of learning to be thankful. Learning to be thankful. Here's what Paul says. This will be our third week to read this. I hope that repetition will be beneficial to you. Paul tells the Philippians as he's wrapping up his letter to them, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. We'll start with a couple of stories. The first one is about one of my children. I like to tell stories about them someday. Maybe if they get a chance to come and be in the worship service as they get older, they might not appreciate it as much, and I may have to taper off the stories about my kids. But this story is about Landon, our oldest son, when he was about 3. Now he's 6 and almost 7 now. But when he was 3, Deborah took he and Emmeline, who was not even 1 year old, to visit her parents while I went to Kentucky on a mission trip. Some of you may remember that trip. Kathy Walker went. I think the Seifrids and Nate was on that trip. Nate remembers that trip well. But anyway, while we were in Kentucky, Deborah and the kids were in Tennessee at her parents' house. And while they were there, her grandmother was also there. And so that, of course, is Landon's great-grandmother, and we affectionately call her Gigi, great-grandmother. And she is a great-grandmother. And so while they were there, Gigi gave Landon a Thomas train. And now, if you know Landon at all, you know he loves Thomas, or at least he loved Thomas. Now, you see, he's graduating now. He's beginning to, and it breaks Deborah's heart. He's beginning to move away from Thomas, and he's getting into things like Ninja Turtles now and stuff, and we're lamenting. Thomas was just so gentle, you know. You don't have to worry about getting whacked upside the head with a sword with Thomas or anything like that. But he was really into Thomas trains, and so Gigi gave Landon a Thomas train engine. And for whatever reason, when Deborah said to him, "Oh, Landon, what do you say to Gigi?" Thumb went in the mouth, and he went quiet, and he would not say thank you. And so she did what she had to do. As a good mother, she said, "Okay, well, I'm going to take the train until you can say thank you." And so she took the train away, and then he went on and played with some other things. But then he would remember throughout the course of this day that he had gotten this train and he wanted to play with it, and he would come to Deborah and say, "Mom, can I play with my train?" And she said, "Sure, but you've got to say thank you." And every time he refused, and this is all from Deborah's telling of the story, he would refuse, whether it was just shyness or blatant disrespect, I don't know, but this went on for a good day or so. And he finally said thank you, didn't he? I mean, it was, "Okay, we're going home now, and either the train comes with us and you say thank you, or the train stays here with Gigi." So he finally grudgingly offered a thank you. There was a time when I was young, maybe a little older than Landon, and my papa gave me two sleeves of Bang caps. Who knows what Bang caps are? Anybody? John and Joe know. Pam knows what Bang caps. Okay, Bang caps. Let me explain this. All right, so they're little rolls of paper with little blisters of black powder pressed into them for use in cap guns. And so I had a number of cap guns as a little kid. My grandpa gave me two sleeves, two rolls of like 1,000 each of Bang caps. I was in heaven. Yet, while he and my parents were not looking, I went out to the garage where I knew the stash of Bang caps were and snagged for myself about three or four more boxes of them. And so I got home and my dad discovered the contraband Bang caps, the superfluous extra Bang caps. He was there when Papa handed them to me. And so he said, "Now, where'd you get these?" And as a good dad, had to take me back to Papa to apologize and give the Bang caps back. See, I don't know if grandparents get all that worked up about ingratitude on the part of their grandkids, you know, but I know parents do, okay? Deborah did. My mom and dad did when they found out I had stolen those caps. And the reason for that is because they're good parents. As good parents, we care about our kids' character. But in the moment, we're probably more aghast at their lack of manners than we are about them showing gratitude. And Deborah was probably more concerned about Landon's lack of manners than about his heart at the time, and about the fact that his ingratitude showed his spiritual condition. And the same was probably true of my parents. See, saying thank you may get easier as we grow up, but meaning it doesn't get any easier. Saying it is one thing. You know, we all grow and hopefully get some manners and learn how to say thank you, but really meaning thank you, that's still a hard thing. And that's why today's topic is so important. The point of today's sermon is one of Paul's main points in Philippians and elsewhere in his letters, and it's this, that right gratitude towards others begins and ends with right gratitude toward God. Right gratitude towards others, right thankfulness towards others begins and ends with right thankfulness towards God. And so as we come into this Thanksgiving week, I hope that all of us will take a moment and be refreshed and reminded of all that we have to thank God for. Not only to thank God directly for, but all the things that we have for which we need to thank Him indirectly by thanking other people. Have you ever thought about dropping your employer a note during Thanksgiving week before you get to the Thanksgiving holiday? Just in sincerity saying, "Hey, thanks for giving me a job. Thanks for the job that I have that you help provide." Have you thought about that? I mean, you may not like your boss, you may not like the company that you work for, but believe it or not, your boss and your employer are God's indirect means of blessing you and your family with an income. Students, have you ever thought about writing your teacher or teachers a note at Thanksgiving time? Saying, "Hey, I just wanted to say thanks for being my teacher. Thanks for putting in all the time that I'm sure you do, you know, to help me broaden my mind and to help prepare me for the future." Thought about that? I mean, teachers, listen, they're teachers for a reason, because they're smart. These are really smart people, and they're so smart, in fact, that they could have probably made a lot more money in some other career field. But no, they chose to invest their lives in helping to prepare the next generation. You may not like them, but I think you'd be surprised, students, at how pausing for long enough to appreciate your teachers, and to express that appreciation to them sincerely would change your attitude towards those teachers. It might even improve your performance. Just a little attitude switch, an attitude of gratitude. Bosses, teachers, God blesses us through all kinds of people. I mean, think about it. Policemen, firemen, trash men. When was the last time you said thanks to your garbage man for being God's indirect means of blessing you with a trash-free house? How many of you grew up burning trash? Yeah. Isn't it nice to not have to do that? Just wheel it out there to the curb and it's gone. Come back and it's empty and put it back in the garage and fill it up again for next week. When I was a kid, I had to take the trash out and burn it. That was a real drag. Kind of cool. I mean, I like playing with fire, you know, things that explode, bang caps. By the way, with bang caps, you know the best way to do bang caps is to take one of those 100-shot rolls and roll it all out flat. It's about this long. And just take your little ball-peen hammer and go, it's like a machine gun, and it's the coolest thing. A little piece of information for you. It seems like I've been doing that a lot lately. Just a little, you know, had the boxing, you know, information I gave you a couple weeks ago, and now bang caps. But where was I? What? The garbage man. Thank you, garbage man. Okay? Ever thought about doing that? I mean, seriously. I mean, all right. You can say, well, I do thank him. Every time I pay my trash bill, I thank him. What? No, come on. That's not gratitude. That's just business, right? Stop paying your trash bill. I can guarantee you he'll stop picking it up. No, you pay your bill and he'll make a living. But show him some gratitude and he might find life. Especially if you express it as a Christian. Hey, I'm thankful to you as a Christian. I believe God has put all kinds of people in my life, and you're one of them. People who are His indirect means of blessing me and my family. And I just wanted to say thanks for that. If you back up that word of appreciation with some Christian truth, you're planting the seed of the gospel. Pay your bill, he'll make a living. Show thanks to someone, and they might find life, eternal life. That's the real payoff with showing gratitude. And the reality is, there's really no one in our lives who's not in some way God's indirect channel of blessing to us. No one. It honors God to thank Him directly. You know, in our prayers, to thank Him directly for blessing us with all the things that we have, especially the eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ. It honors God, but it also honors God to thank Him indirectly by thanking those He uses to bless us in various ways here in the earthly realm. Gratitude is part of our witness in the world. But before we look at Paul's example of direct and indirect thankfulness here in Philippians, I think it bears mentioning that it doesn't just honor God to thank those who serve us. Okay? It honors Him to thank those who cause us suffering as well. You say, well, you lost me there, preacher. Let me explain. Now, we don't do this in snide, snotty, you know, spiteful ways. We do it lovingly. We express thanks to those who cause suffering in our lives. We express thanks to God for those situations that cause suffering in our lives the way Jesus said to do it. When we're thinking about people, Jesus said in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. He says in Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Paul says in Romans 12, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Feed him. Give him something to drink if he's thirsty. Give him something to eat if he's hungry. In doing this, Paul says, you will heap burning coals on his head. You see, in all actuality, as Christians, there's no one who isn't in some way an indirect channel of God's blessing to us. If Paul is right in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and by the way, he is certainly right in that great verse where he says, for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose, then listen, even those who hate and persecute us ought to be thanked, since according to Jesus in the Beatitudes, they are God's channel of blessing to us. What did He say? Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, brothers and sisters, it just won't do. It just won't do for Christians to be thankful part of the time and unthankful the other part of the time. It just won't do for us to be thankful for some of life's circumstances and unthankful for the others. Thankful for some of the people in our lives and unthankful for the others. How could it do? When Paul says to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and listen to this, in everything. What's everything mean? There's a big Greek word for it. It means everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, at the time, I wasn't very thankful for my dad when he found my stolen bang caps and made me go to my papa and return them and apologize to him. I wasn't very thankful for it. But you can bet I'm thankful for him today. I'm thankful that my dad was less interested in letting me enjoy some bang caps and more interested in my character. Who or what in your life have you been or are you unthankful for? That you should really be thanking God for as His indirect means of blessing you in some way. Let me ask that again. Who or what in your life are you presently or have you been in the past unthankful for that in reality you should be thanking God for as His indirect means of blessing you? See, we're wrapping up this series on money today, and while God's blessings are certainly more broad and diverse than money and material things, often those very people and those very situations for which we're not thankful at the time but later come to be very thankful for do indeed involve money and material things. And this is, of course, the situation with Paul and the Philippian church. I mentioned a couple Sundays ago how Paul's expression of gratitude to the Philippians is a model for how Christians ought to express gratitude. It's a model of how right gratitude towards others begins and ends with right gratitude towards God. So let's look at the text today. Let's look closely at Paul's expression of gratitude here, beginning in verse 10 of chapter 4. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that it now at length you've revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now, Paul has a lot of reasons for writing this letter to the Philippians. He's got a lot of reasons. Okay, and you just flip back over the preceding page or so and just kind of skim down and you'll see a lot of those reasons just popping off the page. Philippians is one of those parts of the Bible where literally every verse has a memory verse in it. Every verse has some scintillating, powerful, memorable statement from the Apostle Paul about how to live the Christian life. He warns them in this letter. That's one of the reasons why he writes. He warns them. in chapter 3, verse 2, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. He warns them about these false teachers who are going to come among them. He writes also to admonish them. In chapter 4, verse 2, he admonishes, he calls two women out by name. He says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Get along, girls, sisters in Christ. Work it out. Whatever this disagreement is, figure it out. He wants to encourage them. Chapter 2, verse 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing. He exhorts them here, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Paul's got lots of reasons for writing this letter. But the occasion for writing this letter, I believe, is gratitude. It's to express thanks, true, sincere Christian thanks to God, but through his brothers and sisters in Christ as God's indirect means of blessing him. You see, in the middle of this letter, you've got all these exhortations, you've got all these encouragements, all these warnings, all these instructions from Paul. But like bookends, on the ends of the letter, you see gratitude. It just comes off the page. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So there's just deep, deep gratitude on Paul's part to God for and through the Philippians, who have been a tremendous source of blessing to him. And at the end of the letter, of course, Paul concludes by thanking them, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. You see, the lesson for us in Paul's words here to the Philippians is this, that there was, in fact, an occasion where Paul, as great of a Christian as he was, had the opportunity to not be thankful for the Philippians. And what was that occasion? Well, it appears that while they began very early on, after he left them, while they began to support him, that support lagged for a time. Because Paul says here at the end, you have now revived your concern for me. At long last now, you have revived, you've renewed your financial support of me. And Paul is just so gracious in this. I mean, he has grounds, we would think, in the carnal human sphere. He has grounds to be ungrateful. Why did you abandon me? He doesn't even say what the reason was or for how long they had not supported him financially. He just simply says, you had no occasion to show it. And he doesn't press the issue. He doesn't get in their face and say, why didn't you support me? Man, I was really hungry out here. No, he goes on and he talks about that process that God is doing in his life of teaching him how to depend solely on God. He says, I'm not speaking about being in need in chapter 4, verse 11. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me through Christ. We have in Paul this great example of mature, full-orbed, well-rounded, reflective gratitude towards others. And it's a gratitude that takes into account the imperfections of others, right? These Christians had shown him early on a lot of support and a lot of encouragement. For some reason, something came along that interrupted that flow of support to the Apostle Paul. And during those times, he had to experience need, hunger, lack in the physical realm. But God was maturing him and growing him and going to use him and use that to be a great example to these Christians in the end. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. I've learned the secret. I've learned how to depend entirely on God. As Christians, as we move into Thanksgiving and this time of year where we think about being thankful, hopefully you're thankful all the time, but this is the time of year, obviously, where we kind of take stock and evaluate our lives and all the things that we have for which we ought to be thankful. But I hope that this year you'll embrace the Apostle Paul's approach to gratitude. That even if there are circumstances and situations or even persons in your life for whom you think you might have a reason to not be thankful because of some imperfection on their part or some discomfort that circumstance is bringing you, pause for a moment and ask the bigger question, what has God been doing in me? How has God been blessing me indirectly, even through that uncomfortable circumstance? Even through that imperfect person or persons. Because God is always working. All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. All things, all people, all situations funnel down and come together and converge and bring us to a place of greater Christ-likeness. So this Thanksgiving, the challenge is be thankful for what you don't want to be thankful for. See those things, those people, those situations as God's indirect means of conforming you to the image of Christ. Learn to be thankful in all things. Let's pray. Father God, we, of all the people in the world, have nothing, really nothing, that we shouldn't be thankful for. Even the bad, difficult, painful, hurtful experiences that we go through in this life, we know because of the gospel, we know because of the illumination of the Holy Spirit showing us your plan and showing us how you're working. We know that those things are working together for our good and for your glory. We know this. So Lord, forgive us when we are ungrateful. Forgive us, Lord, when we go quiet. And we don't express our gratitude either directly to you or indirectly through those people who are your indirect means of blessing us. Forgive us, Lord, when our silence says something other than thank you. Forgive us, Lord, when our greed for more says something other than thank you. We pray, God, that we would be like Paul, that we would be able to express our gratitude in situations where we might feel like we have some advantage or some reason to be ungrateful. Help us to be thankful and not just critical. Help us to be thankful, Lord, and not condemning. Help us to be like Jesus. This week, Lord, help us to be Your ready witnesses. Help us to be ready when people may casually ask us, hey, what are you thankful for this week? To be ready. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for eternal life. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for a God who loves me and wants to have a relationship with me. Help us, Lord, to be instant in this season of thankfulness to show this world what real gratitude looks like. We're thankful because of Your grace. Your grace has made us into people who want to say thanks. And so we do say thank You, Lord. We say thank You for all You've done for us in and through Jesus, Your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen.